The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Mike Gallagher Show Week in Review. I'm Eric Hansen in for Mike this week. Mike's off at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando. So I'll review the week with you this week, and Mike will be back next week. Of course, this one, a big week, one we've been talking about on the show for months and months and months. It's the week that Ron DeSantis marked to announce his presidential run. And he did that with a little bit of trouble on Twitter.
Bad night for Twitter. I don't think Elon Musk is very happy with a 20 to 25 minute crash. I was up in the hotel room trying to listen. I kept getting bumped off and hearing funky music and hearing people testing. It was a rocky start for Twitter Spaces. And I'm also sort of mystified by the narrative that so many people tried to listen that it broke the servers. Here's a news flash, 700,000-800,000 people isn't that big a number. So Elon Musk has got some work to do, to be sure. Here's the announcement, cut number three. This is Ron DeSantis on Twitter Spaces. Now, it took about 25 minutes for them to get the thing up and running, but when it did work, here's what he said.
Well, I am running for president of the United States to lead our great American comeback. Look, we know our country's going in the wrong direction. We see it with our eyes. And we feel it in our bones. Our southern borders collapse. Drugs are pouring into the country. Our cities are being hollowed out by spiking crime. The federal government's making it harder for the average family to make ends meet and to attain and maintain a middle-class lifestyle. And our president, well, he lacks vigor, flounders in the face of our nation's challenges, and he takes his cues from the woke mob. I don't think it has to be this way. American decline is not inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American revitalization. We must restore sanity to our nation.
Anybody who tells you that he didn't deliver a powerful message is spinning. They're just spinning. There's no way around it. I mean, his message is solid. In fact, after the Twitter Spaces announcement, he went over on Fox News and told Trey Gowdy, hey, I'm worried that Democrats are going to try to nationalize abortion up until the moment of birth. You think that's a stretch? Here's what he said to Trey Gowdy last night on Fox News Channel.
As you alluded to, we were able to sign legislation protecting unborn child with a detectable heartbeat. And we think that that's a humane thing to do. And it's similar to what Governor Reynolds did in Iowa. And I applaud her for that. Dobbs returned the issue to the elected representatives of the people. And so I think that there's role for both the federal and the states. I think at the end of the day, fighting for life and protecting life really is a bottom-up movement. I think we've been able to have great successes at the local level. I am concerned about a Democratic administration with a trifecta trying to nationalize abortion all the way up until birth.
I'm going to talk real with you for just a moment. Let's just get real. Anything you love about Donald Trump, you'd love about Ron DeSantis when it comes to policy. The question becomes, who do you win with? And I don't know. I don't know who's winnable. I don't know who's the one that's the giant killer. I know a Trump DeSantis ticket is unstoppable. I don't know if that can happen. John Solomon from Just the News kind of agrees with me. He said, look, I think Trump and DeSantis will spar for a few months. It'll be Godzilla against King Kong. And then they're going to join forces, and it's going to be Trump-DeSantis for the win. Well, that's a dream ticket as far as I'm concerned, but we shall see.
And, of course, Ron DeSantis, not the only person to announce a presidential run this week. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina also intends to seek the White House. And The View wasted no time attacking Senator Scott once he made his announcement.
Senator Tim Scott announced he's running for president. He's got a powerful, positive, uplifting message for America. I don't know if he has a path to the White House. I do know that his announcement triggered the very fragile hosts of ABC's The View.
I think one of the issues that Tim Scott has is that he seems to think because I made it, everyone can make it, ignoring, again, the fact that he is the exception and not the rule. And until he is the rule,
he has,
then he can stop talking about systemic
racism. Clarence Thomas syndrome.
But I do think that he has championed policies specific to help the black and brown community. The First Step Act, which many, I know a lot of liberals think it didn't go far enough, but it helped in the first year get 3,000 inmates released into rehabilitation programs.
Those are all great.
He was the champion of the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, which I think was able.
He was one of them. Yeah, he was, listen, them, I don't take it. Look, he's done some good stuff, okay. But if you're running for president, you got to do more than that.
Yeah.
You have to represent us as a nation and then say, and as a black man, this is also how I feel. But you can't pretend that it's not there and that it's not an issue for the people you're running, for the party you're running for. They are, in part, the problem. This cat down in Florida, I mean, black people know there's a problem in Florida.
Yep.
That's what I just wanted to say. To
Mickey Mouse knows there's a problem
in Florida. Everybody knows.
Sure thing, Whoopi Goldberg. Boy, the left hates black conservatives, don't they? Gosh, they just hate black conservatives. And for Tim Scott to announce he's running for president as a Republican nominee, nope. That's a bridge too far. Meanwhile, I just got a text message from Illinois, from the Chicago area. DeSantis should divorce himself from the bad advice he's getting from the Bush-Cheney-Rove GOP sect of the legacy GOP. He needs to partner with Donald Trump in 2024. He will never win head-to-head with Trump in 2024, but he is darned near guaranteed the front-runner position in 2028 if he partners with Trump now. Be smart, Ron. That's what I think. I've said it all along. That is an unstoppable ticket. Think about that. Think about that. You know, a lot of Americans have a firm belief that Donald Trump is not electable in a general election. I wonder if you do feel that way, if Ron DeSantis became his running mate, does that change the equation for you?
And now we officially have two more people seeking the GOP nomination. Tim Scott from South Carolina and, of course, Governor DeSantis from Florida, where the NAACP decided to issue a formal travel advisory for openly hostile Florida. And this was before DeSantis actually announced his presidential bid. DeSantis simply doesn't want things like CRT being taught to young, impressionable children. And that apparently is a problem for the NAACP.
The NAACP has issued a formal travel advisory for what they describe as the openly hostile state of Florida. I mean, DeSantis hasn't even announced he's running yet, and the NAACP is pulling a stunt to try to hurt Ron DeSantis. That's all this is about. The NAACP issued an advisory in response to what they believe is Governor DeSantis's aggressive attempt to erase black history. Only in the delusional, loony left's world is an effort to remove a curriculum that involves teaching impressionable children that America is a filthy, racist, wretched place. Is that an effort to erase black history? Which, of course, tells you all you need to know about what the NAACP thinks about the United States. We have had lots of awful chapters in American history when it applies to race. But critical race theory teaches kids to hate America. And Governor DeSantis and the Florida legislature, don't forget, he doesn't do it without the legislature, the elected representatives all throughout the state of Florida. Doesn't happen without them. He's not a king. The legislature and the governor believe it's wrong in a public school curriculum to teach children to hate the country. Tourists should understand that Florida is openly hostile toward African Americans, said the travel advisory from the NAACP. Now, I could be a smart aleck, and I can say, hey, don't threaten me with a good time. Stay out. We don't want lefties coming to Florida anyway. And believe me, plenty of people are saying that. We've got enough lefties as it is in the Sunshine State. You don't like Florida? Good. Stay away. Don't vacation on the white sandy beaches. Don't go to the theme parks. We'll be just fine without you. But it does show you the crap they're going to pull on Ron DeSantis. Here was Fox News Channel's Rachel Campos Duffy and conservative pundit Rob Smith over the weekend on Fox News reacting to the NAACP travel ban.
NAACP is now issuing a travel warning in Florida, claiming the state has become hostile to Black Americans under DeSantis's leadership. So you live in the state of Florida. Does it feel like a Democrat state in the Deep South in the 1880s, 1850s? Well, what does it feel like for you as a Black man in Florida?
This is the most base level, obvious, you know, leftist Democrat machinations about this. So look, Ron DeSantis is governor of Florida, who's done a very good job here, who, by the way, won re-election by 20 points, is widely seen as somebody that is a credible, you know, contender for the Republican Party nomination here in 2024. So that means that the arms of the left, when it comes to the NAACP and a whole lot of people like that, are basically going to be activated not only against Ron DeSantis, but to also create this fiction that Florida is a place to live that is somehow hostile to African-Americans or gays or whoever, right? It's absolutely not true. I've lived in the great state of Florida for the past 3 years. I was a COVID refugee. I came from New York. So this is all false. And you're going to see a lot more of this stuff coming, particularly directed at DeSantis, as we move closer into 2024.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild that he describes himself as a COVID refugee? He did the same thing I did. He moved out of New York. Now, I did it more for taxes and crime reasons in New York and not feeling comfortable in a state that didn't really want me there. The confiscatory taxes did me in, and I moved to Florida a few years ago as well, and I couldn't be happier with my decision. More of the podcast as we tell you a little bit about MyPillow, because my gosh, Mike Lindell has given us a wild offer. For a few years now, I've been telling you about the MyPillow absorbent towels. These are towels that actually work. Mike got tired of towels that look good, but they don't absorb the water. So he came up with the 6-piece towel set, and the regular price is $99.98. And typically you get a great offer, about 50% off with the promo code MikeG. Well, they're making room for new inventory over at MyPillow, and a wild price, towels that normally, a 6-piece towel set, absorbent towels that are tremendous, they're smooth, they're soft, they're comfortable, and they absorb the water, normally $100, $25. That's right, the 6-piece MyPillow towel set for only $25 when you enter the promo code MikeG. And here's the trick. You got to go to the Mike Gallagher Radio Special square when you go to MyPillow.com. When you click on MyPillow.com, find the Mike Gallagher Radio Specials square. Click on that box, and then you enter the promo code MikeG when you order the towels, when you order the MyPillow 2.0. You buy one, get one free. The smooth, soft, luxurious Giza Dream Sheet for as low as $29.98 when you enter the promo code MikeG. So the key is to go to the Mike Gallagher Radio Special Square. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. MyPillow.com, promo code MikeG. Or call 800-928-6034. 800-928-6034. Like we love to sing.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Promo code MikeG.
This is the Mike Gallagher Show Week in Review podcast. I'm Eric Hansen, in for Mike this week. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, Mike spent the week at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando and had a chance to speak to a lot of interesting people, including the CEO and editor-in-chief of Just the News. John Solomon joined Mike to talk about the expanding GOP field for 2024, Donald Trump's views on abortion, and much, much more.
John, you spent a lot of time with the former president talking about the issue of life. Critics say that he stumbled a little bit in the CNN town hall when he seemed to suggest that the pro-life movement was a little extreme, perhaps, a little radical. Tell us what you guys talked about and what his takeaway was.
He explained what he meant by that, which is, listen, I'm against abortion. I helped deliver Roe v. Wade by getting the 3 conservative justices on the court. Pro-life advocates did not have a seat at the table until Roe v. Wade got exchanged. So you know where I am. I made it happen. I made the impossible happen, right, as he said. But I do believe that there needs to be exceptions for rape and incest. I think if we don't go that, we're morally falling short of our goals, and it's bad politics on top of it. We do it for the moral reason, but you always want to have the benefit of politics.
Did you guys talk about the 6 week or the 13 week and into that?
He was very clear. I'm against abortion, right? And
right.
Then the answer is, okay, well, listen, in the world we now live in, post-Roe, we're going to have some states that are going to have wide open abortion, some state restricted or no abortion. How are you going to deal with it? And he said, listen, the best thing for me to do is to focus on reducing abortion. The last 25 years, abortions have stayed pretty steady. In the last couple of years, they've ticked up, actually, even as red states have created some new restrictions against the procedure. So I want to go out and try to find a way to slow abortions and give women a choice, a compassionate choice. And he talked about building like what are basically the equivalent of a Peace Corps for parents, an adoptive parents corps. You go out and get them pre-cleared, so they go through training, they go through background checks, they're able to step into the void, and then you create tax incentives on both sides of the transaction. If a woman's struggling and is going to take her baby to full term so it can be adopted, we'll give her a tax break for her expenses, we'll give the parents a tax break, and all of a sudden everybody wins and we save a lot more lives in America. Very, very novel idea, and I think, you know, it's actually where Bill Clinton was back in the 90s when he was trying to straddle the line.
Right.
Donald Trump has flipped it on its head at this very moment in history.
Well, let's talk about 2024 for just a moment, because now with Senator Tim Scott throwing his hat in the ring yesterday, it's going to get very interesting. DeSantis expected to announce, I guess, Thursday, I think, is the latest get. I've been saying all along, the Democrats cannot stop a Trump-DeSantis ticket.
Yeah.
They just can't. It's unbeatable. And Ron DeSantis is a young guy. He's 43, 44 years old. He's got a lot of years left.
He does.
What do you think about, what do you think, how is this going to play out? And is there any hope for my dream that Trump and DeSantis will join forces?
I think there is. I wrote a column right after the midterm election suggesting things that people ought to be thinking about for the 2024 election. And I put that on the table. A lot of people were laughing at me, but I think it's a real possibility. I think the first thing is you got to look at the dynamic in the primary. Donald Trump's like the Price is Right guy. Come on down. I want as many people in the race as possible, because he wins much easier in a crowded field. Even head-to-head with Ron DeSantis, I think early on Donald Trump has shown I'm more experienced. I've done the job. I've been on the stage. I've been at retail politicking. Ron DeSantis is going to have a tough time. He's a very talented guy, and he's got a great record. And I think his speech here last night laid out a great predicate for why you would elect him, right? I'll make America Florida. If you like what I did in Florida, we can do that for America. That's not a bad argument to make. He's had some difficulty with the media. He's had some difficulty with temper. He's had difficulty making relationships or sustaining relationships. Those are important skills he's going to have to acquire quickly if he's going to be going head-to-head with Donald Trump. If he doesn't, and if we go into the November-December time frame and he's still 20, 30 points behind, you know, he might still see what happens in Iowa. Iowa's always a slingshot. He could drop out very early and create the sort of consensus ticket that I think a lot of Americans, at least conservative Americans, would like to see. A Trump-DeSantis ticket, by all the polling I've seen, really formidable, particularly when you're up against a Biden ticket, no matter who's on the ticket.
It's the Mike Gallagher Show, Week in Review. I'm Eric Hansen in for Mike. And, of course, we're talking a lot about presidential politics on the Week in Review and, of course, on Mike's show every single day. And it seems like even though Ron DeSantis is running and Tim Scott is running, and they both have interesting and compelling cases, and there'll be people who certainly will want to vote for them, it still kind of seems like Donald Trump, who's way, way out in the lead, is probably going to end up the nominee. Probably, but not definitely. So that raises an interesting question. If Donald Trump does not get the nomination, do you think he will support whoever the GOP nominee is?
There are those who say that Trump is inevitably going to be the GOP nominee. There are those who say maybe not. Here's U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy. He's a never-Trump Republican from Louisiana. He was with CNN's Jake Tapper yesterday.
During the last election cycle, we saw that in all the swing states, almost all, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Arizona, that Trump's the candidates for Senate that Trump endorsed all lost. If you had taken the votes that went to other Republicans and put them together, those Republicans would have won. So I think the president's kind of high-profile endorsement of those candidates actually hurt those candidates, at least in the general election. So if past is prologue, that means President Trump is going to have a hard time in those swing states, which means that he cannot win a general election.
So Senator Conway doesn't believe President Trump can win a general election. What happens if Trump is not the nominee? What's he going to do? This is another fascinating chapter in what's going to be a wild year and a half for America. Because I don't know what that looks like. My gut would be, I don't envision Donald Trump cozying up to Ron DeSantis or Tim Scott or Larry Elder or Vivek Ramaswamy. I just don't see Trump not getting the nomination because the primary voters rejected him and then endorsing somebody else. Will Trump support whoever the 2024 GOP nominee is, if it's not him? Kellyanne Conway says she believes he will.
I think if you beat Donald Trump in the primary, Trump loves his country above everything else, then he will support who the nominee is. I absolutely believe that he should and that he would, but he also believes he'll be the nominee. So there's something to that. And look, I've got my eyes on the prize. Joe Biden is currently the president, Brian. He has the job. He doesn't deserve the job. He's not good at the job. I'm not even sure why he wants the job when nobody else wants him to have the job president. But I think the more Republicans fight with each other, they should have a competition, they should have a brawl, all that on the issues. But the more that we focus on the right. Republican primary, we're taking our eye off the prize, which is how do we dislodge a sitting president?
Gosh, she's so right. The more we fight with each other, the more we're taking our eye off the prize. Here's a great example. Governor DeSantis ripping into Donald Trump over the COVID vaccines, over Operation Warp Speed. Listen carefully to Governor DeSantis's words.
The way they weaponized these COVID vaccines was a massive incursion into our freedoms. They wanted to deny people the right to put food on their table if they didn't bend the knee and get a COVID shot that they may not have wanted and that many of them did not need. We can never allow warp speed to trump informed consent in this country ever again.
Now, of course, he's right on everything he said. However, when he makes the statement, we can never allow warp speed to trump informed consent in this country ever again, he's critical of warp speed. Well, you know why he's critical of warp speed? A lot of my colleagues aren't recognizing this. Tons of people who are cynical and skeptical and wary of Operation Warp Speed, which frankly was one of Donald Trump's signature achievements. Tisha in San Diego, I believe is. Hi, Tisha. How are you?
I was just saying one thing about Trump supporters is we're very loyal. And the reason why we were loyal is because we value loyalty. And Trump is loyal to his country, loyal to his supporters. Ron DeSantis is not loyal. And one thing we recognize is his disloyalty, not only to Donald Trump, but if you're not going to be loyal to those who you're close with, you're not going to be loyal to us.
All right. See, get ready, because this is what this is going to be like. There's going to be no easy road on this one. 800-655-MIKE. Thanks, Tisha. Good hearing from you.
It's going to be an interesting race, and nobody can predict with any certainty what the future holds. Meanwhile, let's head over to New York City, where the hero Marine Daniel Penny gave his first interview. If you don't remember, Daniel Penny is the Marine who was involved in the chokehold death of homeless man Jordan Neely. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez attended Jordan Neely's funeral and had some choice words about this tragic event.
The Marine, the hero Marine, and the guy, let's face it, the guy is a hero. The hero Marine spoke out for the first time. He gave an interview over the weekend saying he didn't want to hurt the homeless criminal on the subway. He was trying to protect other people from the homeless criminal's assault. And people on the train that fateful day are defending the Marine, saying he's absolutely a hero. He's a complete and total hero. Listen to what AOC said. Listen to what the left thinks about the hero Marine on the subway. There's no better canary in the coal mine than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She attended Jordan Neely's funeral over the weekend. Jordan Neely was the homeless criminal who had been repeatedly convicted and charged and who was an ongoing threat and a menace to people in New York on the subway. He had lots of problems. This was a poor, tortured soul who routinely harassed and assaulted other people. And that day on the subway, a Marine, a hero Marine, stood up and did something about it. And put him in a chokehold, and the guy died. And it's a terrible story. It's an awful story.
that this person died. Nobody wanted him to die, least of all the Marine. And he put out a statement saying, and he was asked, would you do it again? He said, I would. I would do what I can for my fellow man. And you know what he did? He did something that few of us would be brave enough to do. He confronted a bad guy. And I understand there's a real tension to me calling Jordan Neely a bad guy. I understand there's a real tension. There's a real risk in calling George Floyd a bad guy. Regardless of your past, you shouldn't be killed in the streets. Nobody disputes that. And I have always said what happened to George Floyd is inexcusable. Regardless even of fentanyl, what was in his system, whatever he had, whatever. There's no excuse for a knee on somebody's neck for as long a period of time as that cop in Minneapolis had on George Floyd. I'm sorry, you can disagree with me, but I feel very strongly that should have never occurred. A couple of minutes of a chokehold like the Marine had, this is a whole different story. This was a good Samaritan trying to protect fellow New Yorkers on a subway. But listen to what AOC said about Ron DeSantis, the governor of New York, and presumably this week, Republican presidential candidate, referring to Penny, the Marine, as a good Samaritan.
AOC, what do you think about Governor DeSantis calling Penny a good Samaritan?
I think you should read a Bible.
I wonder where it is in the Bible that somebody can get on a subway and threaten the lives of everybody on there screaming, I don't care if I die, I don't care if I go to jail, getting in people's faces, physically threatening and intimidating and verbally assaulting people. I wonder where it is in the Bible that Jordan Neely's behavior was defended. But the left stands with criminals. There's no other way around it. The left stands with the bad guys.
It's the Mike Gallagher Show. Week in review. Eric Hansen in for Mike this week. The NAACP president of Fort Lauderdale and Broward County area in Florida accused Ron DeSantis of literally killing black Americans in the wake of the NAACP travel advisory for Florida. Interestingly, they didn't say a single thing about the high crime and murder rates in blue cities.
It's disgusting. It's appalling. It's mortifying that somebody goes on record as saying that black Americans are being killed in the state of Florida because of the governor. Listen, I appreciate people can disagree with Governor DeSantis. I appreciate political differences. I appreciate concerns that Americans have over the political and the cultural and even the spiritual battles we're having in this country. To state that DeSantis and Republicans are trying to erase black history and kill black Floridians is beyond insane. Do you think black Floridians are being killed in Florida? You know, I'm a conservative who has said over and over again, racism isn't gone. Black Americans experience racism. We can't pretend that that battle is over. We can't believe that that struggle isn't true and real. And I only want to open up my phone lines to black Floridians for a few minutes and get your take on this insane battle. We'll start with Francis in Sarasota, Florida. Hi, Francis. Thanks for joining us here at the NRB. How are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Hi. Give me your perspective as a black Floridian over what you just heard.
You know, I've been living in Sarasota since 1999. I was recently appointed to the Florida Education Commissioner's African American History Task Force. And Governor DeSantis is a fantastic governor, and the law requires the teaching of the full history of African Americans, the good, bad, and the ugly.
Heaven forbid. We can't have that. You got to have a selective teaching of history, right?
Absolutely. And Governor DeSantis and the legislature wants to make sure there is no diversity, equity, and inclusion that teaches white kids that they are perpetually oppressors and black kids that they are oppressively oppressed.
All right. Thank you, Francis. Let's see what others have to say. Abe is in Jacksonville. Abe, thanks very much for joining us. How are you?
Well, I agree with the first part wholeheartedly, but it's not because of our great Governor DeSantis' policies. It is because of other black people. Black people are killing other black people in the state of Florida at an alarming rate, and no one wants to say anything about it. That's the main issue.
Well, it's the same with Chicago. Look at black-on-black violence in Chicago.
New York, major American cities, this is a very real problem.
No, it's absolutely real. And it's the number one issue concerning the black community. It doesn't have anything to do with anything that any white guy or any governor, no, it's us. We're doing it to ourselves at this point.
Appreciate your perspective, Abe. Thank you. One open line, 800-655-MIKE. Here was Mike Huckabee, incidentally, on, I believe, Fox News yesterday. Had a terrific take on this NAACP stunt, and that's all it is. We all know that's what it is. Here was Governor Huckabee.
They're simply a front for Democrat Party left-wing politics. And it's tragic because there are issues they could be playing on, but they're not. And getting into this is absurd. And they've made a joke of themselves by saying, oh, don't come to Florida. It's not safe for you. And I loved what you said. Yeah, why don't you go to Chicago? That ought to be a real safe place. Try Baltimore, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland. There's some wonderful places you could go, and I'm sure you would feel very safe as long as you stayed in your hotel room and never left. This is absurd, and everybody who's ever been to Florida knows that it's absurd. And I think Ron DeSantis gets the last laugh on all of this nonsense.
He's right, of course. It is absurd on every level. There's no merit to it. But it's a little shocking to witness the NAACP willing to go down this path, to take this journey and insult millions of black Americans.
Now that Ron DeSantis is officially in the race, he might as well get used to these kinds of attacks because they're going to keep on coming. Speaking of enemies, Donald Trump has no shortage of them. And this week during a virtual court appearance, he was informed of his trial date in New York. And you'll never guess when it is.
According to the Daily Mail's accounting of it, Donald Trump threw his hands in the air in fury during a virtual appearance in a Manhattan court yesterday, as a judge has officially scheduled the Stormy Daniels hush money criminal trial for March 25th, 2024, right in the middle of the presidential campaign. So that means Donald Trump is going to be stuck in a Manhattan courtroom for weeks in the middle of the Republican primary season and months away from the presidential election. According to the Daily Mail, Trump scowled into the camera during a Zoom appearance as Judge Juan Merchan told him he must cancel all commitments during the trial and put a protective order in place banning him from sharing any evidence in public. A gag order. He's under a gag order where he's not going to be allowed to talk about the criminal prosecution that he faces over allegedly paying off Stormy Daniels. If you'd told me a year ago, that I'd be covering a story like this in this way, I'd tell you you were crazy. And I would have to acknowledge, at the very least, I'm being diplomatic here, this is going to be tricky for Donald Trump. How does he do this? I mean, other scenarios have been used to his advantage. There are some scenarios where you could say, well, that boosts his popularity with the American people. I mean, certainly the poll numbers have been going up, up, up. Ron DeSantis's poll numbers are going down, down, down. So along comes Ron DeSantis's announcement that he's running for president, and the former president has to contend with clearing his schedule, meaning no campaigning, for weeks in the middle of the campaign. Don't shoot the messenger. This is going to be really hard for him. It's going to be really tough to campaign for president while you're trying to fend off criminal charges. And of course, the Trump haters are convinced he's going to go to jail. The Trump haters, the DeSantis fans, I suspect, or maybe Nikki Haley or Tim Scott or Larry Elder supporters, believe that it's going to hobble Donald Trump sufficiently enough that he's not going to win. He doesn't have a chance. How does he get the nomination when he's in criminal court defending charges that he paid off a porn star? How's that work?
They keep throwing all of this trouble at Donald Trump, and it's hard to imagine how he will manage it all, but somehow he just keeps coming out on top. Meanwhile, back at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando, Mike sat down with author, journalist, and Fox News contributor Raymond Arroyo to talk about the state of journalism today, the importance of leaning into our faith, and so much more.
Let's be real. Media's lost its mind.
Well, this is the moment we're in. This is the political and media environment. And sadly, all of these media organizations have assumed party allegiance against their audience.
Right.
This is the dangerous thing. You know, I worked for Bob Novak back in the day.
Sure.
Bob Novak was a Democrat who later became a Republican. But if you read Bob's columns, they never moved, Mike.
Right.
They were the same. He was critical and cynical and questioning of everyone.
Right.
Whether that was the Bush administration or the Obama administration or the Clinton administration, it didn't matter. He was the advocate for his audience. We're
right.
here to ask questions.
Right.
We're here to challenge authority.
Right, right.
And that means whoever runs against Ron DeSantis and Donald or Donald Trump and Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis or whoever else is
right.
in the Republican Party. That is our job. We're here for the people. But when you see yellow journalism like that, where they're trying to brand someone as a Klansman with no, absolutely no evidence at all. I mean, if you want to make the Klan connection, Joe Biden was pretty close to Robert Byrd.
No
I remember
kidding.
Those days. I covered the Senate when they were walking around hand in hand and having dinner in the Senate mess hall.
Right.
So this is a very dangerous path we're down. One hopes this would stop. I don't think it will.
Tim Scott this week does a big campaign announcement. He's running,
mm-hmm.
and his message is one of unity.
Right.
His one is we ought to love this country. We ought to respect this country. News Nation, one of your competitors, a cable news operation. Cuomo has reinvented himself. I'm going to be Mr. Down the Middle here for a change.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Does that have legs, Ray? Look,
I think increasingly people are frustrated. They're frustrated with the coverage. They feel they're being spun, and information is kept from them.
Yeah.
I mean, part of what we do, part of what Laura does, part of what I do, you try to find stories that touch people's lives, are important to them, that they haven't heard before.
Right, right, right.
There is, in a 24-hour news grind,
yeah.
I don't call it a cycle, I call it a grind.
It is.
It's the same story,
yeah.
run around the wheel. You've got to find new angles and new people and perspectives that we haven't heard. And look, anybody who can do that, I'm all for. And then let the best man win, because then the public wins.
Millions of people tune in to see Seen and Unseen with Laura, and you appear regularly. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. I've known Laura for years back when she was raped. No. But this is a cool story because your friendship with her is many, many years long.
Yep.
She obviously adores you.
Yep.
I've known Laura for 25 years. I mean, back when she was a radio host, and we were quasi-competitors in that space. And
I remember.
But she was always kind, and I've always respected her enormously. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Laura.
Well, I've known Laura for more than 20 years. I went on her radio show. That's how we first met.
Wow.
I was talking about a book. I did one segment, and it shows, Mike, and I've always felt this, you know, in my background in the theater, you can't create chemistry.
Right.
You only can recognize chemistry.
Right.
And we did the show that first day. I did a 10-minute block. She went to break. I started collecting my things. She said, why don't you stay around?
We'll stay
for another segment.
Nice.
And I said, what are we going to talk about? She said, well, let's talk about news. I said, okay. I stayed through the next segment, stayed through the half hour and the next hour of the show. And then I kept coming back occasionally, and we kind of found our rhythm. But the initial spark, that initial connection, I mean, we always had this kind of brother-sister shtick, and I could rib her where others found it harder. And she did.
Because she could be prickly.
Oh, yeah. Well, Laura's tough. You know, Laura's tough.
She's a tough cookie.
And brilliant.
Sure, she
Hell
is.
Of a lot smarter than I am. But I could take a shot, and she knew it was gentle and in love. And she wouldn't strike back.
Sure.
Or she would strike back in a funny way.
Sure, sure.
But that, you can't fake that.
Right,
it's just there.
It's there.
And
not.
We just brought it to television.
And that, my friends, has been The Week. And this is The Week in Review. I'm Eric Hansen. Mike returns next week on The Week in Review podcast. And until then, God bless America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.